This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Got opening day here with the Cubs and the Dodgers, and it's so much fun.
The international opening day, if you will. So we've got that. We're going to have a crowd of people here. There'll be a lot of energy.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air.
This ball is hit in the air, right center, toward the gap. That ball's in there for a base hit up against the wall. The Cubs are going to get on the board.
A bouncing ball, a hit to Shaw at third, to second for one. Birdie to first, throw sails over the head of Bush. And coming in to score is Shohei Ohtani as the Dodgers take the lead.
Line drive, base hit to left. It'll drive in Ohtani, and the Dodgers lead 4-1. And now the 0-2. Shaw swings and misses, and this ball game is over. The Dodgers, on opening day, have beaten the Chicago Cubs by a score of 4-1.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Morning, Mike. Morning, Dave.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Lot of energy, lot of fun, not enough runs. Let's be honest.
A little earlier than we thought, too. The game was too fast. We love being here. It's a great crowd, great turnout. But, yeah, we didn't think we'd be on so soon.
Thanks to everyone for coming.
Yeah, thanks for everyone.
It was great. It was a lot of fun.
Great turnout. Great food.
Yeah.
Some of the best corned beef hash you'll ever have.
Special thanks to Manny's Deli. They cater today's watch party during the Cubs season opener in Tokyo. Go to mannysdeli.com to visit them on the corner of Roosevelt and Jefferson. Manny's Deli has been Chicago's authentic deli since 1942. 83 years of delicious.
We are well fed, but the Cubs are still starving for runs.
Oh, boy. Is that accurate? They went 0 for their last 21?
I think they did not get a hit until...
That's very disappointing.
Since
they only got the
They only got
hits.
Three. Which one was your favorite?
I think Happer. I just like him. And I like the fact that the ball kind of bounced off the glove.
That's I don't think they got a hit until they had a no-hitter
going.
Love a good
infield single.
They had a no-hitter going. Showed Imanaga.
Yes.
Pitched very well. 69 pitches.
Yes.
And did not give up a hit. And so he was sharp. And at the time I said, he's got a no-hitter going. It was just I was just reminded that.
Yeah.
I don't think the Cubs got a hit after that.
The minute you brought it up, everything went to
I will take the blame. I'll take the blame. Disappointing day, though. Opener.
Honestly, I had a ton of fun.
You're a Sox fan.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's exactly what you're saying.
I watched the baseball. It was fun. I thought that Zach did a tremendous job at 4:30 in the morning. You could hear the energy in his voice coming in here and everyone here.
That's not what I said.
I'm just saying, personally, I had a great day and a great morning. Sadly, they couldn't produce any runs.
Personally, I enjoyed Zach and Pat and Ron as much as anybody here.
Okay.
They did a tremendous job. Baseball is back, and you can hear the excitement in their voice. Yeah. Zach is in midseason cackle form, and it was awesome with all the jokes.
He was cackling in the background the entire show.
And this is fun, and it's great.
Yep.
But the Cubs lost.
And it counts in the standings. They're 0-1.
I know.
There goes the perfect season.
There goes the perfect season.
Shot to you know what.
A little deflating, that's all.
But I'm just saying that it was really a cool way to start the day. It was fun. We've never been preempted in the history of the morning show.
Is that true?
Never. I think there was like a golf tournament on once that people might have been interested in, but we didn't run it. Was there ever a tennis tournament, Dustin? I don't remember. But that's the first ever preempted experience I've had.
So if we're going to be preempted, they might as well win. And so that's why I'm a little disappointed.
Well, I'm with you. They should have won. They could have won. They were leading in the game before you spoiled it. and you just kind of look at that and... You know, what is Kyle Tucker's nickname? Did I read this? That he's known as the silent assassin. Little too silent.
Yeah, a little
Not
too silent.
Not enough assassin.
King Tuck needs to leave the castle again.
And he had
he's
a couple of opportunities.
Hit. He's got one hit this month. He's got one hit during spring training.
Yeah, and that doesn't count. We're not counting that. We're not saying that it just carried over into the season or anything like that.
0 for 4.
But he didn't do anything. Seiya Suzuki was up in a big moment.
Think he was and nervous?
I thought,
how nervous was he?
Here he is.
Back home.
He's in the homeland. Here's a chance to tell everyone that Ohtani is overrated. I'm the man. And what did he do?
Ohtani had two hits. Nothing. He's not overrated.
He had, well, he was, the projection for him was 2.5. Let's get that straight. So it's an under for Ohtani.
Okay.
He only had the two hits. With the two runs scored, he struck out once.
There's really not much to say about this game because the Cubs lost and only had three hits. The only thing that would, if you want to go full Dustin on the opener, I think the question about whether or not they should have stayed with Imanaga another inning, because when you turn the ball over to Ben Brown, that's when the Dodgers got their runs. But I don't even think that's worthy of second guessing. Sorry.
Well, what did he throw? 69 pitches?
Yeah.
So that seemed like enough.
It was enough.
But then...
He walked four guys.
Then you had Ben Brown come in, and it felt like he threw 69 pitches in one inning.
Well,
so that was
the problem
sad.
Was the defense behind him wasn't good.
Well...
Birdie threw the ball, tried to finish a double play, never should have thrown the ball.
Yes.
And then our guy Matt Shaw did not help at all. So the Cubs commit two errors. You know, they had three hits and two errors. Typically, that's not going to win you many baseball games.
Did I read this that Matt Shaw...
Don't read that.
I want to get to this because it's very important.
Really
set a record. He was the youngest Cubs player to debut on opening day at 23 years and 132 days since 1991.
Yeah.
When Gary Scott
that's
made
the problem.
His debut.
That's the problem.
Because Gary Scott didn't last
very
long.
Well, Gary Scott did make his debut in 1991. Gary Scott did not stay with the Cubs to play Major League Baseball past 1992.
Wow.
That's why I did not want you to bring it up. That comparison.
Okay.
That comparison is one that is unavoidable. But Gary Scott had, after making that debut, he played in 67 major league games.
So just to clarify, you've given up on Shaw after one game of Japan.
I have not given up on Matt Shaw.
Without any kind of training camp really behind him, right?
I am not giving up on Matt Shaw. I definitely think he's going to be an asset.
You just called him Gary Scott.
You compared him to that. That's not a good comp. I wish there were a better comp for Matt Shaw. Maybe Nico Hoerner, who they missed today terribly.
They missed Nico.
Yeah.
Birdie had a error and Shaw had an error. They could definitely have used Nico.
They can salvage the trip if they win tomorrow. Justin Steele on the mound.
Against
and yeah,
Roque,
you don't want to overreact. We're having fun, but you don't want to overreact to one game.
Roque starts tomorrow.
If you come home 0-2, then what the problem is that you go back to spring training, you go back to Arizona, the games that don't matter. And
well,
you still.
It's so weird.
It is so strange.
Yeah, it is strange.
And you're going to start the season 0-2.
The Japanese starting pitcher, does that annoy you that the Cubs are out of Japanese starting pitchers and they have Roque?
It only annoys me because Roque Sasaki is going to be very difficult to hit for the Cubs.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and he's a 23-year-old fireballer that's going to be. Very difficult. And Yamamoto...
He was fine. He was good.
He was more than fine. I mean, he was really on top of his game. He was all right. Yeah, he gave the Dodgers what they needed.
Yep.
It's a good team. The Dodgers play without Mookie Betts, and then Freddie Freeman was a game-time scratch. What happened to him?
Freddie's got a rib.
Is that what it was?
He's got a rib. Okay. He's got a bruised rib or a strained rib, or he's got a rib.
But that was a surprise. He was a late
discomfort
scratch.
In the rib.
He only has the one.
You only have one?
He has one rib, the poor guy. Give him a break. And he has no wonder he has discomfort.
Well,
that thing's working overtime.
The Cubs did not take advantage of me because they have, you know, the Dodgers are loaded though. So they're without Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, and they still have
That's
enough.
That's why you need to overreact to this game a little bit.
Yeah, because they had.
You want to overreact to it?
Well, it was a good chance.
Of course, you want
to
overreact to it. You want to overreact to everything.
But that's why. Two of their main guys, two all-star players, not in the lineup, and you can't take advantage.
All right, so if you start the second-guessing tour, where would you start? Imanaga in the fifth inning?
Yeah.
Well, here's the explanation later. I think he said it was time to pull him, and I think he was right.
Why, in the grand scheme of things, sure.
Why Ben Brown?
I would love to hear the reason why Ben Brown.
Why not Ben Brown? Ben Brown's one of your first of all, Ben Brown's a good component, a contrast to Imanaga. He's all velocity. Imanaga's all junk, or all the kind of off-speed stuff.
But a day ago, so it makes sense. When we had Ron Coomer in studio with us, we didn't know what Brown's role was.
And we now questioned whether he would be in Iowa to open the season, and instead
we questioned that. I don't think the Cubs have any doubt.
But they didn't tell us. Now we know he's the fifth starter.
Well, now we know he's,
right? He's the fifth starter?
Or he's the first reliever.
Well, I think he's a swing guy. Yeah, I definitely think he's probably going to be more
so we don't know.
Part of the Cubs rotation or pitching staff than the Iowa Cubs. That's a smart move. I don't know what the Ben Brown
move. You were going to go 4-4 and then close the game out, and you're laughing.
Yeah, the only thing that would you'd question if you're going to go that direction is that if you're going to use Matthew Boyd in Japan in an exhibition, why wouldn't you use him in that role today? And Ben Brown could be used in a different capacity. But, you know, that's easy to second guess because it didn't work. But Ben Brown.
Where's Gage Workman?
Yeah, he didn't play.
Why was he in instead? Why did Birdie play instead of Gage?
Right.
That's a good question. He would tell, because he's the manager. That would be his answer. I think Craig Counsell and his dry sense of humor
that's
would say,
baseball.
I'm the manager. And Birdie earned it. He's better at second base. They probably played Birdie at second base because Gage Workman doesn't play as often as second base and probably worried defensively. The irony, because the defensive miscue by Birdie cost him the game.
And let's explain the miscue. They had a chance for a double play, but it was sort of broken up. They get the first out, and then you got to eat the ball there. You cannot make that throw, and he threw the ball into the dugout because the guy was on top of him, and Edmund had slid in, and he was off balance, and he's trying to make a play instead of taking the play that he had. And he throws the ball in the dugout, and there you go. And then all of a sudden, runs are scored, and life is different, and sadness comes over.
Can't make two errors. Can't make two errors in the opener.
And you also can't walk as many guys. How many guys they walk?
Eight walks. I believe it's eight walks.
Twice they walked the nine hole to get to Ohtani. Why would you ever want to do that?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Save the walk for Ohtani.
Well, that was Dustin's idea.
Yeah,
Ben Brown walked three. Imanaga walked four. And then Brazier and Morgan, Eli Morgan. First, we've seen those guys in a Cup uniform.
Yeah.
And that was maybe they went to them because, obviously, you're down three, you're down two. You don't go to your A plan in the bullpen.
Okay.
So Eli Morgan and Brazier come
Save
in.
Save that for today.
Well,
or tomorrow, I mean.
It's confusing with the time change, I know. It's tonight in Japan right now.
Yeah, they just, like Zach, finished the show to get to dinner. They got reservations and all the restaurants closed at
11. Zach just finished fast because there were no highlights.
There were no highlights.
You can't have a post-game show full of highlights when there are none.
No, it was rough, man. It just, you know, when you score a run – and everyone's like, oh, hey, you got to run. Here
this is
we
the
go.
Danger in and throwing then, a party for the opener when the opener's a dud.
That's right.
Okay? Sorry.
I blame
but,
you.
See, we're getting booed. We're getting booed at a season opening party because the Cubs couldn't hit. So that's our fault. Blame us.
Why did you
I'm already
that?
Getting blamed on the text line. What's up with all the excuses? Why so many excuses? Did Horner get to David? What does that mean?
Hold on. I'm getting another one ready for you right now.
You're getting another? Oh, you're texting? You're texting. Let's see. Well, don't text. Speak up. It's Ben Brown was not the problem today. the defense
Listen,
was a problem.
They had
today.
No offense. They scored a run. I mean, if Kyle Tucker had decided to hit a long ball when there was a man on and he was in that position.
Well, he did hit one out of the infield.
He did, yes.
Okay, Cub fans, worst case scenario. Yep. We're used to this being posed a worst case scenario on opening day. Kyle Tucker, his numbers this year will be worse than Cam Smith's in Houston.
Cam Smith is playing very well. Yeah,
they traded for.
Think he will open as the right fielder.
He has 3 home runs in spring training.
I know.
And he just got drafted last year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't it just last year?
Seems unfair.
Not FSU, right? Yeah.
A year ago, he was at Florida State, getting ready for some weekend series against the Gators, probably. A year later, he's the hottest prospect in Astros camp, reminding Cub fans of what might have been.
I would say that Kyle Tucker, who a lot of people think can make $500 million in free agency, is probably somewhere between $300 to $400 million.
You know what Kyle Tucker
after
might be struggling?
International performance.
You know what Kyle Tucker might be struggling just a little? Because he has heard all those things about people saying he's worth $500 million potentially with his next contract, and he's in a contract year.
So you're blaming me. I said that I thought the guy was going to have a spectacular year because of the situation. Because he's a free agent at the end of the year, you're going to get the absolute best of him.
In theory, that's great.
That is theoretically the idea. Sadly, game one.
Tremendous amount of pressure.
Still in the sandwich, if you will, of spring training, since they're going back to camp and then they'll have a week before they start. I think maybe we don't count these two games just to give us all
they
a break.
They do count, Molly,
they
unfortunately.
Count, right?
They do count. The Cubs are 0-1. That's last place in the Central Division.
The White Sox
don't have as many losses as the Cubs, and that might be the only time we can say that
this
year. This
is the only time this year that's going to happen. That's fair.
Sorry.
That's a fair comment.
It is.
No doubt about it.
So we're going to talk to Bruce.
Dustino's raising a finger.
He's got 1 minute to go.
1 minute till we're
done.
Oh, I didn't know what you were
doing. We got Bruce at 9:25. We're going to have fun with the pick six at 9 o'clock. We're going to use some audience questions as well. And we're going to hear a little bit from Craig Counsell when we come back.
Yeah,
we'll come back and we'll hear from Craig. We'll get his line and find out what his excuse is. No, he'll be very – he'll talk about the bonding, I'm sure, because this was all about bonding.
Can it be a bonding experience
when
you don't
– Do we have the word, the Japanese word for bonding? He knows it. So.
Well, we know it's better than laser tag. He told us that.
Okay. That it's going to work for him. Don't worry about this. Tomorrow,
Kizuna. Was it Kizuna?
Tomorrow – Kizuna,
which is like a Japanese word for bond.
Thank Come you, on, man.
Yeah, Kizuna.
Kizuna.
So the James Cubs lost, Kizuna. But they are the closest 0-1 team in the majors.
Oh, boy. 312-644-6767. We'll hear from Craig Counsell next. It's Mully and Haw. Thanks to everyone for coming out. At least we had a good breakfast here at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 in the score.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
And now the 0-2. Shaw swings and misses, and this ball game is over. The Dodgers, on opening day, have beaten the Chicago Cubs by a score of 4-1.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We are here in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio. We're on the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Blue Cross Blue Shield through it all, thanks to them. And it's great to have everybody come out this morning bright and early. And we had some food from Manny's. And
endure
awesome.
That Cubs loss.
Do you feel like you had to endure it? It was. I had a sense that they were going to come back. But
two things can be true. You can
happened.
Say that it yep. was a struggle to watch that game, and it hurts to lose the opener.
Yes.
But you don't need to overreact, and it doesn't really mean anything in the larger right. context of right. whether or not they can win 90 games.
Right.
They still can win 90 games. They're going to lose 70 games. Today was one of those 70.
90 or bust.
Okay. Right? I'm with that.
Yep.
Put it
all
on
right.
a T-shirt.
Would you like to hear from Craig Counsell? He is the manager of the Cubs, and he spoke after the game. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
So pitched really well. No hits. There was a lot of weak contact. Kind of worked around some walks. They put good at bats on them, and they followed. They put good at bats on us all night and followed up a bunch of pitches. Earned some extra pitches, but showed him managed it really, really well. And I thought he pitched excellent.
He pitched the fourth inning, even though no gave up runs nor the base hit. Is planned to pull him off at the fourth inning or the pitch count?
The question is, what is the overall thought in the game? Yeah, that was getting to 70 was about the pitch number. You saw both starters were at about 70 pitches. So that was kind of the number we had for Shota, and as he finished that inning it was the right time to take him out. And you also I think have to understand the energy that he, you know, you use in a just an environment like this, and I think we saw that certainly from both guys. Yeah, I mean, in the end, they pitched really well. The Dodgers pitched really well. We didn't get much going. Their bullpen was excellent. You know, we really didn't have a rally kind of off their bullpen at all. So the bullpen did a really nice job.
I will take a last question in Japanese and the first row on your left, Craig.
So tell us about tomorrow.
Sasaki Roki
will be on their mound. How do you play against Sasaki's? If you have any specific strategy against Sasaki?
Well, I think, you know, it's a big start for him, obviously. I think Imanaga and Yamamoto did a really good job handling the nerves of the start of the game. I think we've got to put pressure on Sasaki early in the game. I think that's the way to not let him settle into the game. That will be the goal tomorrow.
Great question.
All right, there you go. So tomorrow, game two of the MLB Tokyo Series between the Cubs and the Dodgers, and the pregame coverage once again begins at 4:35 a.m. First pitch at 5:10 a.m. on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network, and we will be on immediately following the postgame show yet again.
I love that the first question Craig Counsell had to answer was from the Japanese version of Dustin asking him why he pulled Shota early. Already, day one, game one.
Dustin's doppelganger.
Yes,
in Japan.
I think so. That was the question. But I do think that's a fair one. Craig Council explained it well.
He did.
You don't want to go past 69 pitches. You don't want to go into the 80s.
They had limited him to 70. He hit 69, and they said, why have him go out and throw a pitch?
Before the game, Ron Coomer talked about 80 to 90 being the range. I was surprised that he went that high. I don't think he told us that yesterday.
Yeah.
And something seemed to be maybe adrenaline, maybe the moment was big enough to keep him in the game. He had a no-hitter. I give Craig Council credit for sticking to his plan. The plan was a good one. They had two errors by two guys playing in the Cub uniform for the first time. That's what this game was about as much as anything.
I liked his answer to the question about Roky Sasaki. Like, how are you? Like, how would you ever be able to hit Roky? What will you do? He's Roky Sasaki. You know what? That guy's got a lot of pressure on him. He's making his MLB debut. He's here. He's 23 years old. He's going to be a nervous wreck. So we're going to hammer him.
I don't think he's going to be a nervous wreck.
A nervous wreck.
I don't know. He's going to be tough to hit.
That weakling, midget won't have a chance against us.
Those are two good questions, though.
I know, but what are you supposed to say? Come on.
I think we're going to play Gage Workman.
You know, very hard to hit guys that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. And there are a lot of first-time pitchers that have success against teams just because you don't have any scouting report. Maybe it's a little different with Roky, but that's not good. That's another problem for tomorrow. All right, we're going to be right back here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
How many games will the Cubs win this year, and did today's opening game alter your opinion on what to expect?
No, it doesn't influence anything, I believe. I think it's 90 or bust. 90 or bust for Jed Hoyer, for the Cubs, for a lot of people involved in it. This is it. They got to win this year, and I think they will. But 90 wins is where I'm setting the bar. If it's 92, I won't complain.
I also would not complain, but I don't see it. I know it's one game, and we're going to do this exact same thing tomorrow. So maybe if they're 1-1,
we won't do the exact same thing tomorrow.
We're going to do the pick six at 9 o'clock tomorrow.
There's only one opening day.
Okay, 86.
So today, the second part of the question: what happened on opening day altered your opinion of the season?
Absolutely, of course
it
did.
So ridiculous. That's
absurd. Of course it did. Yep. The errors, all the walks issued. Yes.
So where are you at?
86.
86. Okay. 86. I think that I'm
which is still probably good enough to win that division, but
it's good enough to win the division. I think the Cubs are going to be at 89. I think 90 is just short of 90. 90 or bust. But they're going to get less. They're going to fall short of 90, but they're not going to bust. As long as you get into the playoffs and have October baseball again at Wrigley Field, the best team since Joe Maddon left town needs to win a playoff series. That to me is what you're going to be measured by. The win total. Well, it'll vary. I mean, it could anywhere between 87 and 92,
okay.
I think, is realistic.
Yeah.
90 is a good bar. I'm glad they said it. I'm glad that we were talking about it. I'm glad it's out there for everyone to aspire to clear. But I don't know if it's
if the bar were 94, I'd be like, oh, I don't know about it. 90 seems reasonable.
90's good.
90's
good. That's a good possible. That's a good goal. And I want them to chase that because if they are close at the deadline, I want them to be aggressive.
They lost so many games with blown saves.
26.
You have that mark. You're there.
It's not
You've
that
got
easy,
your
though.
90.
I want them to spend Bellinger's money. I want them to do something at the deadline that's aggressive.
I think they had fun in Japan, if that's what you're asking.
Wow. You know, it's a scary good question, right?
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He's with us at 9:25. Oh, yay, they can hit. Did the Cubs do enough to improve on offense at disappears for whole games? This is submitted by Jack in Western Springs, who's here in our audience.
Jack, that's a great question. Where's Jack? Thank you for submitting it. No, they did not do enough. That's the point. I think that when you look at their lineup, you do feel very good about it. I just said that it's the best Cub team since Maddon left town. But I don't think they ever replaced Cody Bellinger, and I think they still can be better offensively. They're one big bat short of being a team that you can say, is at least a 90-win team. That is a team that scares you and doesn't have some outs in the lineup. I still go back to there are four spots in that lineup. Amaya, or whoever catches, Matt Shaw, PCA, and Michael Bush, who was pinch hit for today.
Yes.
Pinch hit for today by Justin Turner.
Right.
Day one against a lefty, Michael Bush was pinch hit for. So I think there are too many holes or questions in that lineup for it to say you don't need another big bat. Yes, you do. Go buy one.
I think PCA is going to be good, though.
I do, too. He's the one I have the most confidence in of that four.
And we had at least one fan or more today in this studio audience with Cody Bellinger jerseys on. Okay, I saw some Cody Bellingers walking around.
I think
He left. Maybe they both left.
Head to New York.
But it would have been great just because of injuries, right? So, Nico's out. Bush could have potentially been at second base. And Cody Bellinger today could have been batting fourth or third and playing first base. They did not replace it enough. Now, you can say Kyle Tucker, sure, but Kyle Tucker replaced, say, a Suzuki, who replaced nobody, is the DH.
That's and Suzuki, a better way to look at it.
And Suzuki struggled today. Yep. And again, ton of pressure on that guy, no doubt about it, playing in Japan and whatnot. But, right?
So was Shota.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope Roki has the same issue tomorrow.
And Ohtani only, scored two runs and two hits.
He's tomorrow, say, a Suzuki. I hear what you're saying. They didn't spend that money. And, I mean, you can't help but keep an eye out on how people are doing. And Bellinger is doing very well. He's having a really good camp. So that's bothersome. I would agree with that. And we said that we would not judge that until we figured out what they were going to do with that money. And as you say, thus far, they've eaten some sushi with it. I don't know what they're doing. And they do feel a player short. That is a fair enough assessment. I still think they can win 90 games. But to answer the question, yeah, you could use another bat for sure.
By the way, just an aside, of the three of us, Mully has the highest win total projection for the Cubs, for the record.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I am in line with what the Cubs expect of the Cubs. I don't think I'm over the moon. I'm not putting it out of reach.
Sox fan over the moon.
90 or bust. If a Sox fan is over the moon, it means they're watching the Savannah Bananas perform at Guaranteed.
It's going to be
Field.
The biggest crowd of the season at 35th and Shields.
That's another really good question.
All right, this one from Michael from Lakeview. Which opening day was worse, the 2024 when the Cubs lost to the Rangers and lost Justin Steele to that injury, or this 2025 clunker in Tokyo?
This was just a clunker. Nobody is damaged, and nobody, you're not set back. There's no kind of real. The Justin Steele thing is your opening day starter suffering an injury, and then you're kind of thrown out of whack for a good month and a half. So I think that was significantly worse. But this is unpleasant. They couldn't get a hit. That's kind of worrisome. You talk about how they needed a big bat and whatever it was, 21 straight at bats without a hit. Come on now. That's not a way to win baseball.
I hate to ever answer a question like this. I'm not going to say I don't know because you never say I don't know. But I think it's TBD, and here's why. Here's why. Remember, and I talked to one of our listeners that's come today. She had a shirt on when they went to London. Remember when the Cubs went to London? They were in a really good spot. They were in contention, at least for a wild card. They came back from that trip. I think they lost six straight series. And nobody was injured, but obviously we could the jet lag excuse. So we now the opener, I know the question's about the opener, but this opening series, and then to our point from earlier, they're going to come back. They're going to do this weird spring training thing. Then they got to go play the Diamondbacks, who haven't moved
at
all.
It's a long trip from Mesa to downtown Phoenix.
Well, I'm saying, but the Diamondbacks haven't moved at all, right? So they open at the Diamondbacks. They should open in Arizona. They shouldn't open here. That's a whole other question we'll talk about later. But if this if they lose multiple series, they lose the Dodger series. Then they lose the Diamondback series.
Are this the Dodgers going to be affected like that?
You're anticipating a carryover from the slumping bats today, not only to tomorrow, but to next week.
Potentially.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that's a good question, but it also gives Cubs fans an opportunity to say it could be worse.
Yes.
Because last year on opening day, it was worse. Yes. You not only lost a game, you lost your ace. And really, Justin Steele did recover, but he never really was the guy
right.
You wanted him or needed him to be last season on the mound. So that was much worse. This is one game. They're going to have plenty of time to recover from jet lag. This isn't London in 2023. I'm sure it was a great trip. I hope it was wonderful. But I think that it was not necessarily the same type of situation, because that was in June, and Marcus Stroman was on the mound, and he was never the same again after that. London is where they lost the season. This is not where they're losing the season. This is just a it's an unorthodox, unusual way to start the year, but they're going to have plenty of time to catch up.
Yeah, great question.
All right, this one is from Mark here in Chicago. With the Cubs being the, quote, home team in these two games, they will only have 79 at the friendly confines. Will the Ricketts family finances be okay?
That's a really cynically wonderful question.
I think they should have had a dollar per beer.
I don't know that we're going to be talking about biblical losses. I do wonder what the – did they – was this trip reflected in the season ticket prices for fans that now only have 79 games to attend?
I believe so, but I mean, I'm sure we could get a season ticket. I thought I talked to a season ticket holder that they did, that the prices went up and you got two less products.
Okay. So I think that if the Cubs are strapped financially, we'll hear about it, because Tom has not been shy about expressing that sentiment when they have felt like they were cash strapped.
They're doing okay. I wouldn't worry about them. They got
Comet's going to stay on, right? Nightcore's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be all right. And I think that they've got, you know, that whole area is kind of Ricketsville, right? Mm-hmm. They've bought up a lot of different places. They've cut different deals. I think they're in great financial position. I get it. Tom is very, he's very repetitive in his whole theme of
consistent.
Any money we make goes back. Well, I mean, it also is redundant, because he says the same thing over and
consistent
over again.
Consistent is nicer.
Consistent is nicer. But that is the message. Yeah. The money they make goes back in the team. And so the money, I don't think they're going to lose a player over this, if that's what the fear is. You know, they got 79 games at home. It's going to be a ton of fun. There'll be a party every game, and everybody will be happy about it. So, I don't know that I realize this is a home game. It doesn't feel like the Cubs are at home.
When they win tomorrow, they're going to play Go Cubs Go.
Because Roki is a nervous wreck.
Roki's going to be a wreck. Roki's a wreck.
I like it.
But I would think it would be interesting if Darren Revelle ends up doing a story on this, like how it works.
Yeah.
As an example, did Major League Baseball as a whole pay for both the Cubs and the Dodgers and their traveling parties to go? Or
Cubs brought a lot of players, ex-players.
But did the Cubs have to pay for that? Did the Dodgers have to pay for that? And again, you get back to the price of beer. Well, okay, so I did see a story. Their beer, and we saw a story, Taylor McGregor getting a beer from a vendor out of like a backpack.
Yeah,
right?
She had
our money. It was a $6 beer.
Wow.
Well, that's like half price.
I can tell you, you're not getting that at Wrigley.
Right?
Yeah. So those beer bats are expensive.
Did the Cubs get the beer money? Did they get the concession money? How does that work?
Can the fans bring their own beer backpack in and just kind of sit there and watch the game?
I would like one of those if it's on Amazon. And I got some beer, by the way.
The next?
I was gifted some beer.
How about this?
Yes.
How does that happen?
So
did you lose a bet?
No.
Win a bet?
This gentleman called in, and I said, where are you calling from? And he said, Rhinelander. And I said, I knew Rhinelander because I went to St. Norbert's, my first of five colleges. And then I said, are you going to be able to make it down? He said, oh, yeah, I also live in Downers Grove. And I said, oh, gosh, we drank Rhinelander beer. He goes, oh, it was terrible. I said, yeah, but in college, you paid like $8 for a case of bottles, and you returned it, and they gave you $5 for recycling. So it was fantastic.
Someone call Mitch. Dustin's demanding beer.
No, he's freaking out of
the job. I did not demand anything. We just had a conversation.
You may think he does, but he doesn't typically drink on the job.
That's 30-pack
question, and I'm really not sure.
On opening day of baseball, we're just letting it sit.
Pretty good. Thank you very much for your kindness.
I think Brandon played a question there. All right. Is it worth the Bulls ascending to the ninth seed so they can host a play-in game? How much do you think that matters to management?
Oh, my God. I can't believe we're talking about the Bulls moving up. I mean, listen, Kobe White's playing great. Was that the ninth game where he was over 20 points? And that's a personal best, and he was player of the week in the Eastern Conference. that, you know, the inevitability of the Bulls in the play-in. Okay, great. Make it a home game. That's fantastic. I got no problem with it. It just feels like they're too good. There's just no way for them to Paul George it, right? You see, they shut him down.
Yeah.
Philadelphia shut down everything, for God's sake. So, I mean, yeah, okay, let's go with the home game. Get some more concession money in here.
Well, if you're going to foul it up and not get capture the flag, then you may as well do what they're doing, and that's continuing to win and improving their spot. If you can't fail properly, then you may as well have the home game, which is good for the fans.
Yep.
It's a good – listen – the Bulls as a product, in-person product.
Fun.
It's a fantastic
it's a
night
great
out.
Night.
Afternoon night, whatever ends up being. They're playing well.
It's fun to watch.
Max LaVine and gone, playing better without David's guy, Max LaVine.
And Cooper Flagg is injury prone.
There was no necessary. That was unnecessary. I mean, nobody mentioned Max LaVine or
Zach. You mentioned
LaVine.
They were playing
they're
better.
They're playing the Kings this
interesting,
week.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, they are playing better. They're moving the ball. They're sharing the ball. They're playing the way Billy Donovan insists they play.
Guy's too good a coach.
You look, the Heat are actively losing. They've lost 8 in a row. You mentioned the Sixers. They've tanked. We heard last night Stacey and Adam Amin talking about the Jazz actively tanking. It's a thing.
There might need to be an investigation, by the way. It's really
overt,
bad,
right? But the Bulls are not playing. The Bulls aren't messing around. Hosting a game, I do think, matters to them. You look at tankathon.com now, 3.7% chance to get your guy Cooper Flagg. So the Heat have 3.8% chance. So the Bulls' chances are diminishing by the victory. We get that. But it is fun. They can host. And I think you just have to accept it.
I've answered this question, you know, a lot, obviously.
That's the voice of Connor Bedard. Do you expect Connor Bedard to get another 10-minute penalty tonight against the Kraken? Have the NHL officials made their point, or is the Blackhawks star still a marked man?
Love this question because it speaks to the disrespect that Connor Bedard consistently has gotten this year from every aspect of the league.
Yep.
Started with the media, spread to the players, now goes to the officials. Somebody in the Blackhawk organization, stand up for this kid. He's a kid. He's 19 years old. He's as mild-mannered as they come. He's also the best player they've had in Chicago since Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews. He's going to be a player of that ilk eventually. Don't get down on Connor Bedard because this year has been a struggle. This year has been a struggle. Nobody denies that. But he's going to fix himself. He's broken right now. Help him fix himself by standing up for him, giving officials something to think about the next time they get nonsense and want to call a 10-minute minor or 10-minute penalty on a kid who just mouthed off. Everybody mouths off in hockey, right? So I don't know. I want to hear it from Anders Sorensen. I want to hear it from Nick Foligno.
Yes.
Kyle Davidson, whoever needs to do it. Danny Wirtz,
yes.
Whoever needs to do that in the organization to say, leave this kid alone. He's going to be a star.
Agreed wholeheartedly everything you just said. The other thing that I'd like to see carry over tonight is he was very emotional. If you didn't see the replay, took his helmet off,
yeah,
whipped it as he went up the tunnel, and let's hope maybe that motivates him a little bit more down the stretch.
Well, if he gets another 10-minute penalty, then take whatever committee is investigating North Carolina getting into the tournament or whatever committee you put together to investigate all the teams and have them do an investigation of NHL officials too.
David will support that investigation.
Yeah, we need another investigation.
They'll donate to that. If they do what's that called? A PayPal page or something, right? You'll donate a little bit to that investigation?
GoFundMe page?
GoFundMe
page?
I'll
help. PayPal page.
Okay.
What was that?
Maybe I have been drinking. Hold on, really quick.
It's
really quick.
Yes.
This is important. One more question.
Right. Yes.
This is specific for David, I guess. I could answer. I know you didn't because you partake. But, David, was that the best corned beef hash? Yes or no?
It was good. I sampled the corned beef hash from Manny's Deli delivered.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively, yeah, in every yeah way. That was some of the best corned beef hash I've ever had.
I added a little bit of hot sauce to it. Outstanding.
And special thanks to Manny's Deli for catering today's watch party during the Cubs season opener in Tokyo. Go to mannysdeli.com. Visit them on the corner of Roosevelt and Jefferson. Manny's Deli has been Chicago's authentic deli since 1942. That's 83 years of delicious.
And it was so good, and it was so much of a relief to have Manny's Deli here because there were threats of a hot dog. Fest today. Remember that? They were going to. Dustin was going to.
I don't have my. I don't have my catering license, so I was unable to share hot dogs.
Thank goodness. That was good, though.
All right, we got Bruce Levine next. We'll bring in Bruce, find out what he thought of the season opener. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Storm.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our guy, Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Bruce, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. The season's over for the Cubs now, 0-1.
That's what we heard. That's Dustin.
That's a rumor. That's the rumor, Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, it's all doom and gloom, 161 games left, but why play him now? No, it was... you know, you're playing the best team on the planet, and you're looking at a team without two of the top seven players in the game of baseball not playing today, and Freeman and Betts, and you know, they go out there and they have outstanding bench, they have wonderful players all the way around, tremendous pitching as you saw today, and you know, it's 29 teams and then the Dodgers. That's how you look at it. It's one game. You put it away, and you move forward, I guess.
All right, one question, though, Bruce, about manager decisions by Craig Counsell. Why John Birdie instead of Gage Workman at second base, and what did you think of the decision to go to Ben Brown right after Imanaga?
Well, we'll start with the Birdie, you know, the veteran. He wanted him to play out there today. Probably didn't want Workman out there in the first game, and he's been around a long time. You know, Workman will be playing. I would be surprised if he's not in the lineup tomorrow. I mean, I think there's a good chance he'll be in there. Good left-handed bat. You know, the surprise of spring training, probably the most shocking thing is the way that he's hit the ball and fielded the position. So you'll see a lot of Gabe Workman this year. I know it wasn't part of game one. Now, to answer your second question about Ben Brown, that's to me, that was a no-brainer. I mean, you had 69 pitches from your starter in Imanaga, and then you had another 65 from Ben Brown. So don't look at Ben Brown as a bullpen piece at this point. Continue to look at him as a starting pitcher. That's how I look at him. That's how he was stretched out again in spring training. That's how he was stretched out today. They'll continue to be looked at as a starting pitcher. The Chicago Cubs have 13 games in the first 14 days of the year, and you're going to need an extra starting pitcher. You're going to need a guy with options. You're going to need a couple guys with options like Wicks and like Brown. It won't be a demotion to Iowa if they have to send either one out because of not being competitive, but rather that they take advantage of the rules.
Yeah, you know, we talked a lot. We said we wouldn't criticize them over the fact that they hadn't yet spent the money they saved from Cody Bellinger. We were going to wait and see what they wound up doing. They're a bat short, aren't they? I mean, when you look at it, they scored a run, and they went, 21 at-bats without a hit at the end of the game? Obviously, they need another bat, and they need somebody to step up. And I know – Kyle Tucker's the silent assassin, but he needs to make some noise.
Yeah, right now it's just you're right. It's just silent. No, the assassin isn't there yet. But I mean, he look. I've watched him all spring training, and he's hitting the ball. And he's hitting the ball hard to left center field. That's what you want to see. Again, you know, you're not going to look at a guy who's a Gold Glover, an All Star. A couple of times, been on two world championship teams with his resume. You're not putting him aside and saying this is a failure. So if he doesn't hit, you know, of course, you're going to have problems because they're counting on him to be one of the dominant hitters in the game, and I think he will be. But at this point in time, it's not there.
Bruce, back to the pitching decisions, because I'm curious, with only two games against the Dodgers in this Japanese trip, if you were, the plan was to piggyback your starters and not really stretch guys beyond four or five innings, why was Jameson Taillon and Matthew Boyd left off the active roster rather than having those two guys maybe available and take two other bullpen arms off?
Well, they pitched already. They
could have structured
game.
It so they didn't pitch already. That's the point.
But the point is they keep wanting to have these guys stretched out. Okay, this is just, look, the reality is this is still spring training, okay? Yep. The games count, and they matter, but your process has to be the same. You have to continue to stretch out all your starting pitchers, okay? You're not bringing in Taillon, you're not bringing in Boyd for one inning. That doesn't help your process when you're starting the season in another, 8 days or 9 days, and then you're going 13 out of 14 days in a row to start the season, which is pretty uncommon anyway. You know, the idea that you don't have any off days starting off, one off day in the first 2 weeks. So with that in mind, and you're starting on the road, so they're going to need all the pitching they can get, and they need these guys continue to be stretched out, and that's what they're doing.
What do we know about Roki tomorrow? What is the... You know, I mean, I know he'll be fired up at home, and I know everybody thinks he's got a lot of special to him, but he's a young guy. How do you anticipate Roki Sasaki doing in Game 2?
Well, you hope he's going to be nervous, but he's pitching at home, right? And he's considered the top young pitcher in the game right now, just coming over from Japan. You're not getting a break as far as stuff goes. You saw Yamamoto today, and Yamamoto's was hurt last year, but he's going to be one of the top pitchers in the game this year, and you're probably not going to be far off with Sasaki. So with that in mind, you hope that his command is off, he's a little nervous, and you try to get some people on early off of him and hit a couple pitches as he gets it up. That's going to be the plan. If he's on with his splitter, which is, you know, just almost as good as Yamamoto's are better, you know, you're in for a long day. It just depends on where it's at, you know, as far as his command, his nerves. Is he going to be, excited beyond being able to control himself? We'll find out in less than 24 hours.
Same lineup tomorrow, or you said you might see Workman. What about Carson Kelly behind the plate?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't see any reason why, you know, he wouldn't go with, you know, Council wouldn't go with what he's been doing all spring, and that is maybe Kelly tomorrow, maybe Workman tomorrow. Continue to work all your guys in there. You know, you're trying to win the game, obviously. But, Kelly has been outstanding during spring training. Defensively, people will see a superlative catcher, and he's hitting the ball hard as well. So with that in mind, yeah, why not use some of the people that are going to be part of your regular rotation. You know, platooning at catcher, platooning at third base, all those things are possible with Workman in that lineup and having to be kept all year long. You can't send him to the minor leagues. You either keep him or you send him back to Detroit, and I don't think you want to do that. So they're going to have to find a way to work him in and make sure that he's a part of the offense and defense.
Amaya did have a double and, helped them score their only run. It was rough that the bats were as quiet as they were. When you look at sort of the plan you put together and what you expect, where specifically, say you had a couple of chances, who specifically did not perform when they needed them as you watched the game?
Well, you know, and none of them did because the pitching was so good, right? I mean, there were a couple of hard hit balls here and there, and Tucker hit a ball really hard in his last at bat as well. But I'm most interested in watching Shaw and how he develops. He had an error; it didn't cost him a run. The birdie error cost him a run. They're going to have to clean that up a little bit. And the idea that the guys that have to hit, you know, Swanson's going to have to hit. People are forgetting, you know, that they're hoping by opening day in Arizona that, you know, Nico Horner is back in the lineup. So that's their goal here. He's going to be a part of this team, and he's going to be an important part of the team. So hitting-wise, I think the Cubs are going to hit. When you have superlative pitchers like the Dodgers have, and they're pitching like they are, I don't know what lineup's going to really do a lot of damage against them.
We know Freddie Freeman will not be in the Dodgers lineup tomorrow. He said, or will be in the lineup tomorrow. He said after the game he's expecting to play. Justin Steele on the mound, Bruce. There was a time when Justin Steele and Keegan Thompson were guys who came up at the same time, and a lot was expected of both guys. Keegan Thompson might have been a little bit ahead just because of the way he was used. Designated for assignment. Curious about that decision. What's the future hold for him? And might the White Sox be a team that looks at Keegan Thompson as a possibility?
I know there's seven or eight teams that were looking at Thompson. We knew he was going to get DFA'd a week or 10 days ago because of the roster and just the way it was built. You know, I mean, it's just not going to make it. But, you know, at times, as you mentioned, David, he was considered even a better prospect than Steele. And when you look at his ability, he's been hurt time and time again over the last 4 or 5 years. I love him for the White Sox and put him right in that bullpen. And you never know, he could be the closer for the White Sox within a week or 10 days.
Doesn't take that long. He's better than Clevenger, is what I just heard.
Bruce, great
Bruce
job.
You're the best, buddy. Thank
All
you.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Why would the White Sox need a closer is probably as good a question as
They could pounce. They'll have the first choice.
They should. They should. Yeah. Again, a living, breathing human being is something they should have a lot of. Anybody with a pulse should be claimed, and that's their kind of due diligence, putting that team together. All right, it's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It cost us a run in the fifth, certainly. A couple extra pitches we got out of the Shaw error didn't end up costing us, but the throwing error at second and the double play that probably we should have just ate, that ended up costing us a run. So, you know, you play a team like the Dodgers, you've got to play. You know, you got to do a lot of things right, and that includes defensively, where I think we're really strong, but we made. Especially that mistake tonight cost us one.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Craig Counsell, and he's right. He's absolutely right. That cost him one, that decision to throw that ball into the dugout.
Got to clean it up.
You got to eat that ball.
Got to clean it up. Birdie's not a second baseman.
No.
I think he's a utility guy.
No.
Forced into playing second base because of Nico Horner's injury. Probably won't be there tomorrow based on what Bruce said and what the expectation would be. Gage Workman probably will get a start in Japan. And if he does, he likely will be in place of Birdie because I don't think you want to bench Matt Shaw after he made an error.
No.
Still looking for his first hit. So, you know, the lineups will be over-scrutinized and analyzed for the first couple games, first month of the season. That's what we do. It's kind of fun. That's why I asked Bruce about the starting pitching thing. Because if you were going to go to a starting pitcher after Imanaga, and you knew that going in, why would you not want your second best starting pitcher? Not Justin Steele. He's pitching tomorrow.
Yeah.
But using Tyone and Boyd over the weekend basically made it impossible for them to be used in these two games.
Yeah.
That was a conscious decision.
Tyone would have been perfect to come in and finish that game.
Yeah.
And then you could... Like, why have your number one, your opening day starter with your number five starter piggybacking?
Well, that's what I think is curious about it, and that's why I think coming out of today, that is one of the questions, because if that was the plan all along, and if we're viewing Ben Brown's usage today as his arrival in the rotation as the fifth starter, why would you not want that to be maybe your third starter or your fourth starter?
Right.
Or a veteran guy.
Someone with some experience.
Yes.
It's a big moment. The Tokyo Dome. You're on international television. Yeah,
because you're not asking them to pitch on fewer days rest. You're actually giving them an extra day to stretch, if you will. So you would have given both guys opportunities to be effective, and now they're not even on the active roster. That wasn't a choice. And when you lose a game, when you lose the opener, all these questions are valid.
I'm going to call on Kyle Tucker. I'm calling on him right now. It's a personal shout-out. 4-for-4 tomorrow.
4-for-4? Wow.
Come on.
Wow.
You can win 0 for 4 today. 4 for 4, then everything's back on track.
That would be four times as many hits as he's had since becoming a Cub.
The $312 million contract you were offered.
Stop talking about money.
Is going up to $500.
No, don't.
With a
That's going to be
tomorrow. A couple of homers.
By May 1st, we're going to get tired of hearing about Kyle Tucker's
be up to six,
half a billion dollar
or down to
contract that he's playing for.
I hope we're talking about it. I hope we're talking about how much he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's
let's not
the
be talking
that
about that he hit three balls out of the infield.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to come to that conclusion after opening day.
Ian Happ,
it's been a long month.
He had a nice game out of everybody. I thought he was on base a couple times.
Did he?
Struck out in a moment.
Okay. Had a fielding.
You know who had a good day?
Say it didn't do anything.
You know who had a good day? Marquee Sports Network had a good day.
Marquee Sports Network did very well for themselves.
That was pretty cool. All the images.
The fine people here at the Score.
Oh, yeah.
In
well,
the
that
Blue
goes
Cross
without saying.
Blue Shield Performance Studio. Blue Cross Blue Shield through it all.
Manny's Deli had a good day.
We did very well.
Yeah.
Manny's Deli is getting tons of publicity for how great they did. They delivered.
Corned beef hash, best ever. Best ever.
I'm not a corned beef hash guy.
I'm just saying, if you're a corned beef hash guy.
Yeah.
No.
Huh?
You like corned beef?
No.
Or you really don't like corned beef?
No.
I had awesome corned beef yesterday. I had good corned beef on Saturday. Didn't have any on Sunday. Great corned beef on Monday.
Did you know
Monday.
That corned beef is an American thing?
Thing? Like pizza, kind of?
There is no corned beef in Ireland. That's true.
It's totally American.
It's a way to preserve the meat. Mm-hmm. So it is
it's
not.
It's like how they did on Yellowstone.
I didn't watch it. I never watched it.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah.
You going to be okay carrying that case of beer out of here?
Yeah. No. I think one of us is going to mug him in the park.
So what do we got tonight? We got tonight no baseball, really, so the Cubs are not playing.
We got the tournament, man.
Well, the question stands, do we have the tournament or
we
don't
have the tournament
we have
tonight. Yeah. It's the beginning of the NCAA tournament, the play-in round in Dayton, the first four, Alabama State, St. Francis.
This is the rundown that Dustin gives us. Some may say the tournament starts tonight.
The tournament starts tonight. The tournament definitely starts tonight.
He doesn't believe it starts tonight.
Show of hands, does the tournament start tonight or not? Yes. Yes.
Well, some may say.
If you're a fan of these teams, if you're on these rosters, the tournament starts tonight. So you can watch the tournament. Hockey, we've got the hockey at the United Center.
Yeah, that's good.
Hawks and Kraken.
And we want to remind everyone, tomorrow is game two of the MLB Tokyo Series between the Cubs and the Dodgers. The pregame coverage once again begin at 4:30 a.m. with the first pitch at 5:10 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. And we will be on again immediately after the postgame show. The run total for tomorrow is 7.5.
Is it? Okay.
So it'll be a longer game.
Yeah.
So you may as well just get in
I'm
a little
taking
later.
The under. Yeah. We might be talking about the Bears. Maybe they'll sign a receiver today. Mecole Hardman and Rondale Moore were visiting on Monday.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
And I'm calling on Ohtani to go hitless. I'm doing
Ohtani is going to go hitless, and Kyle Tucker's going to have four?
At this segment on 670, that's what has to happen, on 670 The Score is brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. Get the vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai. And thanks to everybody. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you for
thanks
being here.
Thanks for staying with us.
This
we
was a great morning.
We had a great morning. It's great to see everybody and get to chat a little bit. And we appreciate it. Stay tuned because Layla is in. It is the Layla Tuesday with Marshall Harris next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.